The story of the Alter Rebbe's journey to Petersburg gives us tangible testimony to the above statement that whatever happens to a tzaddik, and especially to a tzaddik who is a leader of Jewry, takes place only with his consent. When the Alter Rebbe did not want to travel further, the wagon came to a halt, and it came to a halt where and when the Alter Rebbe so desired. Had the wagon stood still at candlelighting time, this would have been not at all remarkable. For such things which we find concerning even an unwitting reaction. Take for example the incident in which the wealthy scholar Rabbi Yeshua Zeitlin, seeking to put the Alter Rebbe's perception to the test, served him wine which had been handled by a Gentile. When his little stratagem failed, he said, "Concerning you it is written, Lo yu'una l'tzadik kol oven, no evil shall befall the righteous." In this incident, for example, there is nothing remarkable. But that the wagon should stand still at 10:30 on Friday morning and not budge, this is one of the palpable wonders of God, like any overt miracle. From all of the above, it is abundantly clear to anyone that one whose word carried weight over material things, as was the case with the Alter Rebbe, had the option of not being imprisoned at all, and of not hiding, even for a solitary hour. If he did go nevertheless, this was for the sake of a profound purpose involving the service of Hashem. Avraham Avinu opened the channel of self-sacrifice for the sanctification of the divine name, and the Alter Rebbe opened the channel for self-sacrifice for the service of Hashem according to the teachings of Chassidus. From all of this, one can gather that the whole episode of the Alter Rebbe's imprisonment was only a garment worn by choice in order to avoid making use of supernatural means. Truth to tell, this subject warrants a detailed explanation, especially since this would provide at least an inkling of an appreciation of the Alter Rebbe's quintessential inner love for Jews in general, for he wanted every individual to start living with a zest in his Torah study and his divine service according to the teachings of Chassidus, and his love for Chassidim in particular. And this love the Alter Rebbe planted in the Rebbes who succeeded him. To explain this theme in passing is impossible. It deserves detailed attention in a hollow nook all its own. I am nevertheless mentioning it in brief, so that Chassidim will know that they are not Chas V'Shalom alone, for such a deep-seated and quintessential love is everlasting, throughout all the generations until the coming of Mashiach, when it will be granted us, at the time of the resurrection of the dead, to gaze directly upon the living and luminous countenance of the Rebbes. After the brief introduction above as to how the imprisonment and all the suffering it involved was of no account in the eyes of the Alter Rebbe, I would like to tell you of a certain incident. In the year Tafresh Samach Vav, 1906, my father, the Rebbe Rashab, and I were in Moscow on Chaf Dalet Teves, the anniversary of the passing of the Alter Rebbe, and a minyan was needed for the afternoon mincha prayer. It was midwinter and the days were short. Besides, the only way to be allowed to live in Moscow in those days was by holding a document of proxy, and every Jew knew that he had to be on his guard so that he should not be recognized when walking in the streets, for fear of his life. So it was that for a number of Jews to assemble, especially at a fixed time, was exceedingly difficult. While we were waiting for the minyan, my father said, "If people only knew the lofty worth of responding amen to a kaddish, which is soon to be said, what rich and spiritual material blessings and success it bestows upon all of the five levels of the soul, and what blessings for children, health and livelihood it brings in its wake, to generation after generation, then there would be a considerable number of minyanim." In the meantime, people started to wander in one by one. My father was always punctilious about the proper times for prayer, especially in the afternoon. So he had already prayed the mincha service. When the 10th man arrived, a chassid by the name of Rav Baruch Shalom HaKohen Rodner, the minyan prayed the mincha service, after which my father said, "There are times when Kaddish is recited for the sake of the departed, and there are times when Kaddish is recited for the benefit of those who recite it. There are times, too, when for the one who recites it, the Kaddish is a ladder, while for the listener it is a channel through which divine blessings flow. The initials of the first four words of Kaddish, Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shmei Rabba, comprise the words Yosher. May the blessing elicited by the Kaddish be drawn down in a manner of Yosher, finding expression in the kind of good which is visible and revealed. On the anniversary of the Rebbe's passing, a disciple is bound to him with all the five levels of his soul, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. Even if an ordinary person is imprisoned, he becomes refined by the experience. How much more so the Alter Rebbe? And particularly since he was imprisoned over the revelation of the innermost dimension of the Torah, risking his very life for this cause, and as is known, his daughter gave her life on this account. Considering self-sacrifice of this order, and his dvekus with the Infinite One, blessed be He, and his close communion with his saintly teachers, one will be able to appreciate the extent to which the entire incarceration did not engage his attention. From this, one will likewise be able to understand, or at least imagine, the following divinely ordained situation. After the Alter Rebbe had spent time in the Peter Paul fortress, being in the company of the Magid, and listening to the Baal Shem Tov, how much must he have suffered during those 3 hours in the home of the Misnagid? Now the above-quoted statement, which has been handed down from Rebbe to Rebbe, that those 3 hours caused the Alter Rebbe more anguish than the whole imprisonment, may be well understood. In the course of the 5 years, Taf Kuf Mem Ches to Taf Kuf Nun Beis, 1788 to 1792, the circle of Hasidim grew exceedingly, both in the numbers and in quality. That is to say, all the disciples of the three Chadarim spread out in various places. As is known, the Alter Rebbe was highly organized, both in his own life and as a leader of men, so that their mission of awakening their brethren to the teachings of Hasidus was closely planned. I had jotted down what I had been told on this subject, and much of this I recorded in a long letter to a certain individual. At any rate, in the course of these 5 years, there was a great increase in the number of Hasidim who were men of mellow understanding. The Misnagdim saw that the Hasidim were growing into a body to be reckoned with, and observed that the disciples whom the Alter Rebbe dispatched as emissaries to disseminate the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov were God-fearing men, and scholars of formidable stature. Seeing, moreover, that in every town they won over more individuals to the cause of Hasidus, their opponents once again sought to arouse the ire of the Gaon of Vilna. At first, as is known, he refused to listen to them, but the factious men among them, who fanned dissension, conspired to surround him with falsehood and deceit, bringing him slanderous allegations about the lifestyle of the Hasidim in general, and in particular the charge that they disparaged the study of Torah. During this period, in the years Taf Kuf Nun Aleph to Taf Kuf Nun Beis, 1791 to 1792, the rose of Hasidus flourished, and the evil one who cast his malevolent eye on the first and the second Beis HaMikdash now made his presence felt. A harsh edict was mooted in the heavenly court. During that summer, the Alter Rebbe had sent his Chassid Reb Yaakov of Semelian to the Tzaddik Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, bearing a pidyon nefesh on his behalf and on behalf of the cause of Hasidus in general. He then called for his daughter, the saintly Rebbetzin Devoraleya, mother of the Tzemach Tzedek, and imparted to her what he had intended by the names which he had given her, that is, after which of the many Devoras and Leahs he had named her. He explained to her, too, his life work in disseminating the teachings of his mentors, and told her of his success with which his endeavors had met. But this had served only as an arrow in the eye of the Satan. For now, a dire verdict against him had been passed down in the heavenly court. He told her further that he considered that the divine influence, which was to be brought down to the world below, could be directed to from the world above. This was the result of Aveda, but it was not an approach appropriate to the world scheme of Tikkun. The Alter Rebbe's daughter replied not a word. She left the room and later returned to tell him, "To this you ought never agree. "This, on no account." She then called for a few selected and discreet Hasidim of her father, told them in brief of what she had now heard from his mouth, and declared, "My father, on no account, I undertake to stand in his stead, so that he will be able to carry out the intention and the will of my grandfather and my great-grandfather, which is also the divine will." The children of the Alter Rebbe used to refer to the Maggid of Mizritch and as their grandfather, and to the Baal Shem Tov as their great-grandfather. In my father's verbringings of bygone days, every word is a pearl. And as time goes by, one comes nearer to an understanding of an old vert, a memorable dictum from long ago, and it becomes clear and luminous in quite a novel way. Each word warms one and gives one a sense of well-being. Then, when one ponders over it, one does not feel so lonely. On the physical plane, we see that if a person owns a number of individual pearls, they may well be valuable merchandise, but they are, after all only individual pearls. If, however, these self-same pearls are threaded together in a certain order, then even though there is nothing new in the pearls themselves, their beauty is now of quite a different kind. They light up their entire surroundings, and around them is created a purer ear.